Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful and wintry Sunday. You know, I was tempted to Saturday night to get out the Christmas songs again since we finally have snow on the ground and celebrate winter a little bit. A few announcements before we get started today. First of all, I want to give a big thank you to everybody who participated in our concert that cares. Kira and Chloe did a wonderful job. Charlotte was a little under the weather, but they did a phenomenal show. We raised a ton of stuffed animals. You can see our choir has already started. Let's get this to grow. Danielle said we had like 120 last year, so we're hoping to get 150 or 160 this year. So a great start. We'll keep looking for opportunities to empower our kids. Hopefully have another concert this spring. Cares and Prayers will meet at Tuesday at 1:30. Wednesday, 4:30 to 6, we will have our food on the fly, and trustees will follow at 6:30. Park Street Pizzas, they are available after worship. Emily will be in the back selling those for our mission trip. What's that?
We don't have pizza, we're ordering.
Ordering pizza, sorry, yeah. It's a TBD slip you get. but they were delicious last time. Everybody enjoyed them. If you can support our mission trip, Nick will also be selling our chocolate bars once again. Our pound auction will be on the 22nd to support our camp scholarship fund. If you'd like to be a part of that, please talk to Floyd or Tim. They're always happy to take donations and do a great job auctioneering. And we're also auctioning off Jim Schaefer's beautiful mountain bike. So we're still taking bids on that if you're interested. Wednesday, February 26th at 7, we will celebrate our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service at Emmanuel Lutheran this year. We have the privilege of going there. That is a beautiful service with the Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the United Methodists. It really is a great ecumenical service, so we have the opportunity to support that. Emily has T-shirts for those of you that were involved with the Noah's Hope Project on our day of mission. They so generously gave T-shirts to all of you who donated. So if you were a part of that, please see Emily after worship. We'll give a big thank you to their staff, Mandy, and all the people at Noah's Hope who continue to support us. And then please don't forget this Friday at the PAC, we have our Moravian night with Jen Bostic, a very talented musician from Waconia, Minnesota, who will be here. Good friends of the Wallaces, a great opportunity to support our Moravians in mission. There's a little code you can put in the back of your insert that can get you tickets for $15 for a PAC event that is very dirt cheap. Great Valentine's gift, and actually, as a promotional gift, John Wallace gave us all these signed CDs from Jen Bostic, and I get to give one of them away today. So if you will look on the back of your bulletin, and somebody should have a red X on the back front. Ooh, Chloe, hey, there's a good person to give a new musical CD to. So someday remember this when you have a CD of your own, that you'll give one away in church, just like that. But Jen is a talented musician. She does gospel, she does country, she does a little bit of everything. I think that performance is going to be wonderful, and you will not be disappointed. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right. We'll stand and greet everyone, and remember it's cold and flu season, so if you need to give somebody a wave or anything, or an elbow, feel free to do that. So let us stand and greet one another. How's it going, Missy? Are you up to hands now? New fist bump? You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Let us say it together. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. You may be seated.
If you'll please stand for the call to worship. The Lord's light shall break forth like the dawn. The glory of the Lord will be ours to cherish. We shall call, and the Lord will answer.
You shall cry for help, and He will say, here I am.
Please join me in singing Most Gracious God and Lord, found on 488 or on the screen.
Thank you.
turn our attention to our offering. And in today's message, we will hear about how we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And salt is used to preserve, to care for, to make sure that it stays authentic. So what keeps us our most authentic selves as Christians is our ability to give, to care, and give back to God. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together. Gracious God,
we are called to light up the world around us. Help our compassionate giving be a light of refuge for those who feel trapped in dark places. May we always remember you're the greatest source of light the world has ever known.
Amen. You may be seated. We now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we turn it over to God. Please continue to keep Linda Bonnell in your prayers. She completed her first round of brain radiation last Friday and started her chemotherapy on Tuesday. She'll be getting treatments every 3 weeks. Keep praying for her, her treatment team, and Terry. The treatments that she's receiving are 4 times as strong as the treatment she received the first time. So please continue to keep her in prayer. Janet West, as she continues to recover, she continues to do well after she got her pacemaker last week, came home Friday, showed a significant improvement, and we continue to pray that Janet continues to grow stronger. For Lori, the sister of Joyce Waldo, she had a stroke last Saturday and was admitted to OSU. I talked to Joyce, sounds like she was doing a little bit better this past week. So continue to keep her in prayer. For the Bodner family, their son Mark passed away, so sympathy and resurrection hope for their family. For Jeff Edwards, who had cataract surgery, a friend of Amy Pasquinelli's, continued prayer for all those suffering from the flu and coronavirus across the world. We continue to pray for all the doctors and nurses and treatment teams who continue to reach out to people in difficult situations. A prayer of joy. Dan Cummings got engaged last weekend, Kathy Cummings' son, and is getting married. Do I have this date right? February 29th, 2020? So maybe check her heartbeat back there. I got Millie and Martha there just to make sure everything's going great. That's wonderful news. Congratulations out to Dan. And your planning team, which I'm sure is in sporadic motion. It will be what it will be, and it will be a wonderful day, I'm sure. Continued prayers of safe travel. Our Eastern District Board has a meeting this weekend, and we'll be dispersing this past week. For my family, which has come to visit as well, they'll be traveling back home at some point this past weekend to Bethlehem. And just continued pray for our world and our country, that peace abides in all times and all places. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for your presence in your lives. And it is so fitting that today, when we close our eyes in prayers, that we can feel the light shining through the window on this cold winter day, because we know that you are the source of all light and all good, and your light beams even on the coldest of days, and we are so grateful for that. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. There are so many people in our world in the midst of darkness right now. Help us light up the world for them so they can see just how powerful and transformative your love can be. Help each one of us to take some time to just pay attention to the grace and mercy that we receive. Because today we get to accept your invitation to the table. Today you welcome each and every one of us as sinners to the same table, united by the same love. And that's what we ask for in our world, that sense of peace and togetherness and community. Because you taught us that we are better together. You taught us that we are better when we trust in your faith, hope, and love, even when we don't have all the answers. Because you, God, are the greatest answer of all. You are the source of light and love and laughter in our world. So help us continue to get back to the source. Because the closer we are to you, the closer we are to living out our best selves and our truest selves, as you call us to be as children of God. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us.
Thank you, Missy. Our gospel today comes from the 5th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 to 20. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. I think we got a few coming. Here we go. We got wind coming. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, yeah. Come on up, Wynn, how we doing? And Miss Willow. So first we're gonna talk about how exciting this past weekend was. Who had a snow day on Friday?
Me.
Me? Awesome. Who had a snow day? McKenna did? Awesome. What'd you do with your snow day? Rylan? You did what? You got to go to your grandma's house and hang out with... Oh, okay. Nick, what'd you do for your snow day? You played in the snow? Did you make a snowman? Paige, what'd you do? You had to stay inside and do chores. Man, oppressive regime over there. Wynn, what'd you do for your snow day? You got to go to your grandma's house and hang out? Yeah, did you have a movie day? Maybe... Did anybody get to play any video games and watch movies? Do cool stuff like that? Okay. So I thought, since I'm from Wisconsin, we love snow. We love having it back, and so I was very excited. So I brought for you guys, I found the biggest snowball in the parking lot, and guess what? I'm gonna let you guys throw it at me. So let me just go ahead and grab that big snowball. Uh-oh. Angie, did you see anything that happened to my snowball? Look at my snowball. What happened to my snowball?
It melted.
But I left it nice right by that heater right there to keep it warm so their hands wouldn't get cold when they threw the snowball. What happened? It melted. Oh, man. So what happened to my fresh snow then? It's all melted, so the snowball that I throw becomes more like just cold water. Oh.
Wait, now we dump the whole bucket.
No, we are not going to dump the whole bucket on Patrick. Actually, let's put this bucket over here. We don't have any baptism scheduled today, obviously. So what happens to snow when it melts? Does it stay snow?
No.
No? Aubrey, what happens to snow?
It becomes water.
So Let's say we took this bucket and we put it in the freezer. Would it become snow again?
Yes.
Now, what would it become, Nick?
Ice.
It would become ice. So you could say that this snow has lost its substance. That substance is like its integrity, what built it. And guess what? When we fall short with God, when we make mistakes, when we turn away from God, we become just like this snow. We melt. We lose our substance. We lose our integrity. And that's why it's important we come to God. We stay close to God. Because guess what? Just like snow, God can build us up. God can turn us into the perfect snowman or snow girl that He wants to be. But what happens if we turn away from God? We melt. We lose all that wonderful good stuff that was holding us together in our lives. Yeah, Aubrey.
But you know what you could also do with snow? You could dump it in the grass so it could help the soil.
So it could help the soil. Yeah, there's other ways to help that out. But I want you all to remember that the closer we are to God, the more connected we are, the more God can build us up. So that way, we don't end up like, what happened to my Frosty the Snowman? He's not doing so good right now, is he? But that's why we always have to keep our substance. And we can do that by praying to God. We can do that by reading the Bible. And what else are you doing today? Where are you right now? Go to church. Yeah, absolutely. And those help us build that relationship with Jesus. So let's get in our circle and pray. And I'll have to make sure I hold on to each of your hands so you don't reach for that bucket behind me. Oh, yeah, let's get Willow in here. Can I grab her hand? There you go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids, continue to strengthen them and remind them that they are cared for and loved, and continue to build them up to be believers. And help each one of us know that sometimes we melt and we fall short, but you, God, will raise us right back up and bring us closer to you. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a snack. Let me do that for you. Perfect. Make sure I don't trip over that during communion. Otherwise, you'll have some soggy bread, people. Let's take a moment and pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us as we continue to listen and be reminded that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Please help us light this world up. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. These were not the words going through my head on Sunday night when the check engine light came on the car that I just purchased on Friday. And I had driven it 46 miles, people. 46 miles I had driven this car, and this light popped up. And so I was a frustrated and an angry person on Monday morning, and when I had to call the car dealer up and explain to him about this predicament that we were in. I was kind of like Bruce Almighty, if you've seen him in that opening scene. Why must you smite me, almighty smiter? And I was so angry and I was so upset. And the next 24 hours, I spent rotating between anger towards the situation that I had been put in and, you know, that dangerously addictive drug that we have that's called self-pity, where we just like to sit around and feel sorry about ourselves. Woe is me. And self-pity is kind of like when you wear your favorite cozy pajamas to work. You know, everybody's got those favorite fuzzy, cozy pajamas. Where to everybody else, when they see you in those fuzzy pajamas, they think you look terrible, don't they? But for you, they feel pretty darn comfortable, don't they? They are just awesome, your fuzzy, cozy pajamas. But at the end of the day, self-pity is not a very satisfying feeling. It doesn't get you rooted in a whole lot. And to be honest with you, I was more prepared Tuesday morning. I actually woke up, and from some reason I had stress or allergies, and my right eye was swollen shut. Or either my wife has a right elbow like Mike Tyson that I don't know about when I'm sleeping. That could be it. So I was even more frustrated on Tuesday morning, and I get to my computer, and this text pops up, and I have to write about, you are the wonderful light of the world. And I'm thinking, give me a break, God. Give me a break. Light of the world, come on. And because I was, that morning, I was more ready for a boxing match than writing a wonderful text about salt and light and all these wonderful things. Because I was in a deep, dark pit. And to be honest, I was very comfortable there. And then, strangely enough, I found something that turned me around on Facebook, of all places. Because one of my friends, Derek, who I graduated high school with, who I went to elementary and middle school with, he put a testimony on Facebook from his dad, Ken. Now, Ken is a very talented musician and choir teacher at our local high school. His family is one of the most musically talented I know. Derek's sister, Holly, is actually in Broadway musicals in New York, Wisconsin, Kansas City, all these wonderful places. Their family is just awesome at music. And Ken was the choir teacher in our town for as long as I can remember and has one of the most beautiful, deep voices that I've ever heard. And when Derek and I played basketball together in middle school, you could literally pick his dad's whistle out of 100 people in the crowd and you would know exactly where it was coming from behind you. He was one of our biggest fans and our supporters in the stands. And Ken, this past year, was recently diagnosed with the crippling disease that is ALS. It was tough to see. I hadn't seen Ken since this diagnosis, so when this video popped up, it was tough for me to see what this disease had already done in 1 year to such a strong and a faithful person. And the really interesting thing was Ken did not see this disease as an opportunity for self-pity. He saw his disease as an opportunity to bear witness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He started this video by quoting 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Power is made perfect in weakness. And Ken said, I'm not sure what you are going through in your life, but we all go through something. And then he read off a rather large list of scriptures. I'm talking about 10 to 12 scriptures that praise God. In fact, he even wrote his own beatitude about his experience. He said, here's a beatitude from Ken Sina. Blessed are you that praise the Lord, for one day you will praise him forever in his glorious presence. For me, suddenly, after I saw that video, that check engine light that was just curling me up didn't seem so important. I was able to let it go, because if Ken's able to handle something like ALS, my check engine light isn't nearly as important. And what it taught me was that it was God's light shining through the pit of despair from one of my Christian brothers and sisters that rescued me. And that's why I want to focus on verse 15 today. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. Not just one person, not just a couple people in the house, but your light lights up the entire house. And that's what Ken did for me when I saw this video. He gave me my light back. Because lighting up the world is not just about lighting it up for our own benefit. It's about lighting the house for the benefit of others. And I think sometimes in American culture, we often forget that. Because we live by want. The two most important words that you hear in our culture is I want. And that's what people worship, that's what people pursue, that's what people go after, just fulfilling their wants. But we need to be bigger than that. We need to be more caring than that. Christ calls us to a different measure. I think often of the African concept of Ubuntu, which means we exist to belong to each other. That's the community effect. We exist to care for one another, to love one another. And if you really look at Jesus, a lot of his ministry is shifting people away from the I, but to the we, how we can take care of one another. Because Christ equips us to use our lamps to light the way for others. And now people are welcome to take a fire and brimstone approach, but I have always found that sharing light can be a much more powerful approach. Have you heard the story about the man who fell into the hole? He fell into a deep, dark pit in the middle of this place. And the first person to walk by him is a doctor. And the man screams up to him from the bottom of his pit. He says, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" And the doctor says, "Sure." So he takes out his prescription pad. He writes him a prescription for ibuprofen. And he throws it down into the pit and he walks away. Obviously doesn't help the man in the pit very much, does it? And the next person to come around is the wonderful pastor of the town, the priest there to save the man. And obviously you would think the priest would be the one to help this man. And he reaches up to the priest and says, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" And the priest looks at him and goes, "Sure, I'm happy to help you." And he gets out his pen and pad and he writes the most beautiful prayer for this man. And he bunches it up and he throws it down into the hole and he walks away. And the man's stuck in this hole. And then finally, one of the man's friends comes by. And he doesn't reach for a piece of paper. He doesn't reach for a pen. The first thing he does is he jumps directly into the hole. And his friend is furious in the hole. He's like, "Why did you do this? There's two of us stuck in the hole now. This is really dumb move by you." And then he goes, "No, I've fallen in this hole too. Let me show you the way out. Let me be your guide." And that's what we're talking about in the light of the world. How do we guide people out of the darkness? Because it's easy to throw prayers and prescription from a distance, but it's much harder but more authentic to be the one that's willing to get your hands dirty, to go into the darkness, to help others escape. So we have to ask ourselves, are we lighting our lamps for others? What are you doing to make the people around you feel cared for, energized, enthused, or even feel alive? And I know it's easy to feel intimidated by many people in our world who courageously every day are fighting challenging diseases and hardships we can never possibly imagine us doing anything remotely close in the same circumstances. The good news for us is that God is not asking us to deliver a TED Talk. God is simply asking us to light the world around us. And I want you to remember that. Take the pressure off yourself from thinking you have to do something huge and extravagant, because all you have to do is light up the world for the people around you. That means if you are a singer, light up the world with your song. If you are an artist, light up the world with your creativity. If you are a good listener, light up the world with much-needed empathy. And sometimes we vastly, vastly underestimate the power of good listening. But imagine if we voted for our politicians on the basis of their ability to listen to people rather than their ability to talk to people. I have a feeling the approval rating would be out of the single digits for once. Because listening and empathy is such an important tool to have. And do you know a life is saved every single day? Not by expert advice or a pastor who pulls out the perfect Bible verse in the Bible and throws it to somebody in a difficult situation, but every single day by a friend who texts, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How have you been?" It's a hug in the grocery store or surprising a friend with an invitation to the coffee shop, because you know they are going through a real rough time, and they just need somebody to vent with, to talk with, to just understand the pain that they're going through. Someone who can complain about their car, and you can go, "Wow, that stinks, and I hope you get that fixed too." I'm like, wow, that can help you sometimes. Because sometimes we just need somebody to cry with, to laugh with, and someone who has enough compassion just to show up for us. Showing up is half the battle, because we live in the social media age where we're convinced that we have thousands of Instagram followers and thousands of Facebook friends. Give me three people who show up for me consistently, and I guarantee those people are going to be far more powerful for you than the thousands of Facebook friends or Instagram friends you can have. Because showing up is so important, especially when you've been in the darkness. Remember that. Show up. You are the light of the world. I want you to think about that phrase. You are the light of the world. Because when we come to the communion table today, we need to put aside our selfish and sinful ways. We need to lay them down, lay down the burdens before God. Because each and every one of us has been given a beautiful light inside of us. Not some of us, not most of us, but all of us have God's light within us. And that light was not given to us to benefit ourselves. It is not a I light, it is a we light. And we are called to light up the path for others. And the really cool thing is that if each and every one of us is using our Christ light to light the path of redemption for others, no one in our world will ever have to walk in darkness again. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and we are just so grateful for your presence in our lives and our world. Help each and every one of us continue to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And remind us that each one of us shine in our own unique way. So help us to use our gifts to praise God, not to belittle our gifts, but to let them shine for the benefit of others. Because if all our lights are shining, there is no possible way that the darkness in this world can win. Because God is too powerful, his love is too powerful, and this light is too powerful. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we join together to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea.
Thank you.
turn our hearts and our minds to Holy Communion. As at this time, I remind you the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome God's love in their heart are welcome here. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Gracious God, we are so grateful that you have personally and wonderfully invited each one of us to this table. That invitation is not based on deserving or a record of all the wonderful things we have done, but by account of your grace and your mercy for us, because we realize you have blotted out all of our transgressions by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, but still, it is your mercy that defines us and not your judgment. So help us to be the people that live in the light of mercy and grace and love, and pray together the prayer that you so wonderfully taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Let them comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.